The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. Funny thing about being fast, you end up waiting a lot. First to show up, first in line, then just waiting. Me, I rev up Chumba Casino. With over 200 social casino games, no slow lanes here. Why sit around when you can spin? I'm already racing. Your turn. Play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. That's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Emma Kenny. Welcome to Bang to Rights, the deep dive crime podcast, which takes you through some of the most heinous crimes the world has ever seen. Let's talk about this case that genuinely is one that's recent and also unbelievably frustrating, as I said, because I genuinely think that when we explore murders, we have to look at the chain of causation. The chain of causation is really important because it gives us indicators of what needs to change and shift. And there are absolute chains of causation that led to the murder of this amazing young woman. And we need to challenge the way that this world is going when we see these kind of crimes play out that genuinely could have been prevented. Laken Riley should not be dead. And of course, it goes without saying, guys, that no murder victim should ever be dead. It's wrong that there are perpetrators who take lives. But there are some instrumental factors when you can actually look at what has played out leading to this event that could actually have had some other consequence if the authorities had acted appropriately. So just strap in, because this is going to be one of those that frustrates you. We're talking about the morning of the 22nd of February 2024, where this crime actually occurs. You've seen the CCTV, and that CCTV basically happens hours before that beautiful young girl is found dead. Laken Riley was one of those individuals who was just a beacon of hope to this world, genuinely. She's one of those people that when you read about her background, you read about her ethics, her morals, her beliefs, her vocation, that you just know she was placed on this earth to do incredible things. And she never got the chance to do that because her life was snuffed out by an egocentric, narcissistic, psychopathic killer. It's as simple as that. We're not going to be positive in any way, shape or form about the man who snuffed her life out. He is a diabolical example of everything that is wrong in this world. Before we go into the details of exactly what happened to Laken and how her body ended up being found, let's talk about who she was and essentially who she remains to the people who love her. Laken Hope Riley, and if ever there was a name that genuinely described a young person, Hope is absolutely something that personifies Laken. She was born on the 10th of January 2002. That's the same year my first child was born. So she is a really young adult at this point, at the very beginning of her life. She was born in Marietta, Georgia. That's one of Atlanta's largest suburbs. And her parents were Jason Riley and Allison Phillips. They were actually separated, but the family was very functional and very communicative. Now, Laken reportedly was also very close with her stepfather, and that comes into play with some of the statements that I'll read out from him later down the line. And you know what? I often think it's really important to bring in the fact that we have to celebrate certain step relationships, because when we look historically and statistically at step-parent relationships, often they're full of dysfunction. You are more likely to find yourself as a child abused by a step-parent than you would a biological parent. And of course, there'll be a ton of you who are step-parents out there who are amazing, but just statistically, it's important to celebrate step-parents when they are able to create really functional, healthy, loving relationships with the children that they are gifted when they come into relationships with their biological parents. And like I said, for Laken, her stepfather certainly personifies what I'm saying. She also had two sisters and one brother. Now, Lauren Phillips, who was a sister, she said that Lacan was, quote, the best sister and my built-in best friend from the very first second, which is obviously the best kind of relationship we could ever imagine. To be biologically tied to someone and also to be able to celebrate that that individual is also our best friend really is an incredible gift. Also, her younger sister, Lauren Phillips, said that Riley would send her daily text messages that would just be about wishing her a good morning, or she'd share funny TikTok and Snapchat videos. And she said, the true sense of joy I felt when she would just randomly surprise me, the fact that that will never happen again. And I mean, that is so devastating, isn't it? The very fact that she's relating to the fact that those simple pleasures, that joy, when she's randomly sent some funny video, and then the reality of knowing that's never going to happen again, it's horrific. In fact, she went on to say that Lacan was her biggest supporter, and she recalled that she always had a sense of comfort and safety in her presence, and that is reflected by everybody who knows Lacan Riley. Like I said, this girl is an incredibly unusual light, and I really want that to come across in this video. In 2020, Lacan graduates from River Ridge High School in Woodstock, Georgia. She was a popular young girl there. She's a very pretty girl. She's an athletic girl. She's incredibly friendly. She was a very valued member of the cross-country team while she was a student there. So like I said, she's succeeding in so many ways. She went on to study at the University of Georgia as an undergrad, and she was an active member of the Alpha Chi Omega sorority. Now, when Lacan graduated, she transfers to Augusta University in Athens, Georgia, and this is where she was studying to become a nurse. And that, again, personifies the kind of individual that we're talking about. She wants to care for other people. Now, the school said she was a junior in the program and was actually on the dean's list for fall 2023. It's also worth noting that at the age of 22, Riley's last...
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall. With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go big time on a fancy water bottle with ultra-titanium alloy metal. You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water. But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time for water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
Life was largely guided by her Christian faith. So in 2016, she actually posted a photo of a sunset at St. Simon's Island. This was along with a Bible verse. And in 2019, she commemorated a mission trip to Honduras, and she posted a picture of children, and she wrote, "This past week, God used me in ways I couldn't even imagine." So she sees herself as somebody who's carrying God's word out to people who might not ordinarily have that offered to them, and it's something that clearly demonstrates her dedication. So apart from the fact that she is somebody who's vocational, she's obviously somebody who's deeply spiritual. Alison Phillips, Lacan's mum, actually said she was smart, hardworking, kind, thoughtful, and most importantly, she was a child of God. She had a personal relationship with Jesus, and she loved being his hands and feet in this world. So again, very, very much a child who had grown to be devoted to her wider community and to her faith. Now, about 2 months before her death, she even went ahead and wrote a letter to her future husband because she wanted to imagine what that was going to be like and her expectations about their life together. And she actually said that she wished to embody what she described as a faithful Christian life and carry it through the rest of her life. And she actually said this, "I pray God is at the center of our relationship as it is a gift from him. I thank him for you before I even know you, and can't wait to love you in the best way I know how for the rest of our lives." So she's actually manifesting this future with this individual who's going to have her commonalities, her values, her morals. And she's somebody who certainly seems to embody a deserving reality of that desire. When the day plays out that Lakin disappears, it's the 22nd of February 2024. She goes for a simple morning run at the University of Georgia. And like I said at the very beginning of this video, this is what's so distressing, isn't it? It's so distressing that as a young woman, as a woman, you can go out imagining that your streets are safe and you never get to come home. It's why so many women look over their shoulder. And we all know that the mass majority of men are good. And not just that, they're protective. They'd be the person trying to save you from terrible situations. That happens every day of the week in the way that we see our armed forces go out there and die for us at times, mostly men, with respect. And the reality is that is an example of the male protective mechanism that so many feel. But equally, it's mostly men who kill women. So therefore, you have to have that balance. And the idea that you can't just go out for a run safely in broad daylight, it's a really, really chilling feeling. Now, what we know about that morning is about 8:55 a.m., Lakin texts her mother, "Good morning, about to go for a run, if you're free to talk." Then 9:03 a.m., Lakin actually rings her mother and her mum doesn't pick up. So she decides that she's going to start listening to music instead. And you see her captured on a trail camera at 9:05 a.m. So she's running with her iPhone, she's in her left hand, and she's actually running towards the intramural fields. Now she runs out of the view of the camera at 9:06 a.m. What we then know is that at 9:11 a.m., so this is minutes later, Lakin calls 911, and she did this via the SOS application on her phone. Now, the dispatcher didn't get to speak to anyone before the call was hung up, and that dispatcher did call back twice with no answer, and so the dispatcher believed it must have been an accident, so didn't act further. I do have an issue with that, because I think to myself, if somebody had rang you accidentally, and then you call them back twice, if they don't answer, surely that would provoke a fear that maybe something was happening, that maybe that person couldn't answer the phone. And shouldn't you just go out of your way at this point to err on the side of caution and look at what you can do to actually ensure that you know that person is safe, or indeed to confirm that they're not? Like I said, that doesn't mean that the dispatcher is in any way responsible, but I do think it's one of those important issues to raise, because Lakin called and wanted help and absolutely didn't receive it because of the belief system of the dispatcher as opposed to the reality of what was playing out. Then at 9:24 a.m, Lakin receives a call from her mum, and obviously at this point she doesn't answer because a terrible thing has happened to her. Now her mum is obviously concerned that that call goes unanswered, because Lakin has actually suggested that she wants to talk and have a chat, and her mum's probably excited about being able to connect with her daughter on that morning run because they can pass the time together, and how lovely that they have a relationship where this young girl wants to connect with her mother regularly in this way. Then 9:38 a.m, her mum actually says, "Call me when you can," because she's obviously getting that feeling of, oh, well, maybe she's just talking to somebody, maybe she's got her phone on silent, maybe she's doing something different to what she anticipated doing, but you can just feel the bubbling of anxiety there. Now, Alison keeps trying to get in contact with her daughter, but from that point, all calls go unanswered, and she starts to get really fearful. At 9:58 a.m, she says, "You're making me nervous not answering when you're running. Are you okay?" She continued to receive calls from her mother and her sister at this point, all of which she doesn't pick up. So like I said, we are talking about a family who know the movements of the sister and daughter. We're talking about a family who know that she would not be ignoring their calls. And this has gone on for a period of hours. So now they are really deeply concerned. It is not like Lakin. We get to 11:47 a.m. Alison texts again, "Please call me. I'm worried sick about you." And I think that to anyone who's listening, you've all been there. You've all been there in a situation where somebody that you love is not answering their calls or doesn't seem to be able to be got hold of, and your head just spirals to what might have happened. And for some of you, it happened. That's the reality. For some of us right now, we have lived that moment where a person that we love has met a tragedy. And those feelings between the fear and the reality, it's just harrowing. And that's what's happening for Lakin's family in that moment. Now, her stepfather's also trying to call her, and that also goes unanswered. Now, the actual trail camera footage from later that morning captured Lakin's roommates, Lily Steiner and Sophia Magana, and they are out with a dog on the trail searching for her. And again, what does that tell us? Not just about Laken, but about Laken's social circle. Because I look back at my university days, I'm sure a lot of you will look back at your university days, my mates wouldn't have noticed if I'd been missing for like a week. I'm not even joking. And they were good mates. It was just like we weren't prioritising knowing where each of us was. And we just would have assumed that the other person is likely okay. But this isn't the case where Laken's roommates are concerned. They feel like something bad must have happened because she isn't returning and they don't know where she is. And the fact that they actually get out and go to search for her is testament not only to Laken and her personality and how much she was loved, but also the responsibility and accountability her friends take for her safety, which is pretty incredible. We get to 12:07 p.m. Her roommates by this point are so disturbed by the fact that she hasn't come back. They report her missing to University of Georgia police. So they are taking absolutely no chances. Really sadly, not long after that, 12:38 p.m., the worst discovery that could ever be made is made and Laken's body is discovered. The University of Georgia police in Oceanae Forest Park find her just behind Lake Herrick. And at this point, when they actually see her, they can see exactly what's occurred for the most part because she's received blunt force trauma. Her cause of death was ruled by Athens Clark County Coroner Dr. Michelle DiMarco, as indeed blunt force trauma to the head and also asphyxiation. Now, it was added that when they looked at what had happened to Laken, that the killer had absolutely gone out of their way to cause this bodily harm by seriously disfiguring her body or a member thereof by disfiguring her skull. So that was the quote. Now, what they were meaning by that was that obviously this person who went for her intended to do her some serious harm. But whether they intended in that initial period of attack to kill her or to silence her, that's the suggestion that's coming across here. So obviously they definitely intended serious harm, but the reaction potentially from Laken Riley, which was to rightfully probably try to fight back, meant that this individual wanted to stop her having that opportunity, and that's why they disfigured her skull to such a degree. She sustained 8 injuries to the left side of her skull. So just imagine that, a repeated hitting with a very blunt, aggressive object repeatedly in an area of her skull. You know, without a shadow of a doubt, there will be one consequence. The consequence will be death. There was also an injury just above her right temple, and the police suspected in the initial investigation that the killer concealed her death by basically dragging her to a secluded area. And this was the quote: they believed he prevented Laken with intent to cause physical harm from making a night.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall. With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go big time on a fancy water bottle with ultra-titanium alloy metal. You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water. But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time for water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
911 call while she was at the intramural field. So like I said, that phone call before when she was obviously desperately trying to elect for help and call people and let them know that she was in trouble, the reaction of the perpetrator was then to silence her. I will tell you my own thoughts and feelings as to what the motivation of the attack was later down the line, but that's essentially the way that they perceive it played out, that she tried to get help, she likely tried to fight back, and the consequence was he didn't like that and he was going to silence her from getting the help that she so desperately needed and deserved. Now, we know exactly when Laken died because she was wearing a Garmin watch and that showed that her heart stopped at approximately 9:24 a.m. It's so interesting these days, isn't it? we have our digital connections around us constantly. And most of the time, they're just recording our activities, our interactions, our searches, what we're planning. And we forget that at times they actually record our final moments on this planet. And that's exactly what happens in that moment. She was wearing that as a healthy addition to her life to track her health and wellness. And what it ends up doing is recording the last moment that she's alive on this planet. The University of Georgia police, they described her murder as a crime of opportunity. They reported that the killer appeared to have acted alone. Also, UGA police chief Jeffrey Clark went ahead and held a press conference. And the main reasoning behind that press conference was to try to reassure the students and the public. And they said, my investigators will be working this case day and night, and they will be looking at every camera that we have. Because that's one of the things these days, isn't it? You might believe that you've got a crime all figured out. You might believe that you've figured the perfect murder or the perfect sexual assault, but you don't realise just how much you're being tracked. Now, some of us have an issue with that. Some of us think it's a really good thing, but the reality is it's what we're dealing with. These days, you can't sneeze without somebody actually recording it somewhere, whether it's on a doorbell, whether it's on CCTV, whether it's somebody's filming something in that local area and you're on that. The reality is it's pretty easy to track people. But the thing about narcissists, the thing about individuals who think that they're so superior and don't have to live by the rules of our society, their personality types often make them feel that they've got it all figured out, even when they don't have a clue about the reality of what they're about to do and the consequences of those actions for themselves, as well as obviously the person that they carry the attack out on. Now, Chloe Mullis, the chapter president of Alpha Chi Omega, they described at the time that UGA's campus was really heavy in its feeling because obviously they've lost one of their own. And they went ahead and said, it's so obvious to me why it feels so dark right now. And that is because we have lost one of the brightest lights that there's ever been. This campus and our sisterhood will never be the same without Lake and Riley. Bianca Tiller, who was Lakin's freshman year roommate, said that she lit up every room she walked into and that she brought a smile onto everyone's face. And just to example this shining light, this force of nature that Lake and Riley was, the day before she is killed, Riley basically was up for early morning clinical rotation, and she actually woke up even earlier because she wanted to make one of her roommates feel really special, really appreciated, really loved. So her roommate Connolly Huth said, I woke up on February the 21st at 7:30 a.m. I walked out of my bedroom door to streamers hung outside of my bedroom from the top of my doorframe to the floor, with balloons blown, decorations taped, and gifts presented precisely on my kitchen island. Lakin did it. It was my 22nd birthday. So immediately and automatically he was drawn in again to this personality that we're talking about where Lakin Riley is concerned. Now, it turned out that Lakin's homicide was not the only homicide that had happened on campus. Don't get me wrong, there have been decades in between the killing and the one I'm talking about today. So 41 years earlier, UGA student Donna Lynn Allen was stabbed to death on the 21st of December, 1983. Now, 7 days after her murder, a guy called Warren Reed Hall was arrested. He was actually brought in on different crimes, including using a gun to assault a woman in a shopping centre car park and also attacking another woman with a knife. But he admitted during his interrogation to Donna's murder. So when he's getting questioned by the police, he just comes out with this reality. The state initially sought the death penalty, but the jury sentenced Hall instead to life in prison in 1984. He actually pled guilty to two other crimes. He received an additional 45 years for that. Hall did appeal to the Supreme Court of Georgia. He argued in part that his rights had been violated during police questioning, but the court upheld his sentence, and rightfully so. He murdered and abused women in a heinous way. Now, following Donna Allen's death, what the University of Georgia did was it became the first university in the whole of the US to install emergency call boxes. That was in 1988. Now, the school did move them in 2004. They didn't feel they were necessary anymore because they just weren't being used. Bear in mind, we're talking about technology moving on, many of us having mobile phones, so understandably there were different methods for receiving support and help. Now, according to a post on the UGA's Police Department website, it said in 1988, the University of Georgia became one of the first campuses in the nation to install emergency call boxes. As many as 28 call boxes were once spread across campus. At that time, emergency call boxes represented one of the best available options for people to communicate with police when they were in need of assistance. In early 2000, telephone systems began moving away from analog tech towards digital systems, and in 2004, the university learned that the phone system infrastructure could no longer support analog technology used in the call boxes, and therefore the call box system would cease to function without a costly digital upgrade. They said that over an 8-year span, the police had only received 7 calls from the call boxes, and none of those were of an emergency nature. So basically they're saying, listen, it's had its day and they're not actually being used effectively anyway. So UGA police said, today we urge students to use an app called LiveSafe, and said that most people have got access to mobile phones at all times. Now LiveSafe is a free mobile safety app, and it basically enables direct and discreet two-way communication with safety officials, which means you can report concerns, you can share locations and access safety. So basically they feel they've got it covered in that way. But some of the students were really upset. They felt like it was really good having the blue light call boxes and they want them returned. In fact, there was an online petition that was created just hours after Lakin's death, saying that the lack of emergency blue lights has been an ongoing issue that can no longer be ignored. I can see both sides of it, but I will always err on the side of caution and safety. And a life is priceless. I know things are expensive to institute, such as making those call boxes digital, but when it comes down to it, you can't put a price on the sanctity of life. And I'm sure they make a lot of money from the students there. And I think that everybody should think about prioritizing the safety of those who are paying the wages of everybody on that university campus. It's as simple as that. And also, it was pretty incredible, the reception of that particular petition. So almost 10,000 people had signed within 24 hours. In fact, it's now got 26,000 signatures. It's probably got more now, but that's at the last look, 26,000 signatures. Now, it has been said that Lakin Riley got international attention, really. So when she died, it just became a massive case. And the reason for that, some people believe it was a second death on campus in the space of only 2 days. So on Wednesday, February the 21st, a University of Georgia freshman student was actually found dead in the Brumby Hall dorm. Now, it was confirmed by his high school alma mater that he'd actually taken his own life. So it's a very different death, but nonetheless, 2 deaths on one campus in 2 days is obviously going to provoke a reaction. And when you think of the fact that the second death was murder, it's going to have a massive impact, and rightfully so. These kind of deaths should be screamed from the rooftops. It's as simple as that. Lakin's funeral, before we move on to the actual perpetrator and the justice, essentially, that absolutely was required, her funeral was commemorated on the 1st of March 2024 at the Woodstock City Church. She was then buried at Enon Cemetery in Woodstock, Georgia. And there was also a memorial made for Lakin at Lake Herrick. And her stepfather stated, she will be missed every day, but we promise to honour her life moving forward in a very big way. And Lakin's family at this point started an online fund to raise money for a foundation in her honour called the Lakin Hope Riley Foundation. Again, I always just want to literally take my hat off and nod at the individuals who create these kind of legacies automatically and immediately after such a profound loss. I just don't think I would even be able to leave my home, let alone think about helping other people in the name of the person that I love and have lost. And it is testament, again, to the soul of this family, to the spirit of this family, that that's what they're thinking about. They're thinking about how Lakin Riley's death can actually benefit other people. They want to provide that legacy for other people. And like I say, the selflessness in that action is incredible, and one I'm not sure that I could ever match. I just don't think I could live up to that, because like I said, I think I'd be so indulged in my pain and grief that I wouldn't find the space, that energy. And again, it's just to verify, I guess, why Laken Riley was such an incredible person, because she came from incredible people. Now, the University of Georgia police immediately begin working with the Georgia Bureau of Investigation, the GBI, and also the Athens Clark County Police Department. They want to investigate this incident. They want to bring this killer in immediately. They also, at this point, say to the general public, can you avoid the intramural fields and can you avoid the lake in the meantime? Because there could be some evidence there and we want to make sure we get whoever is responsible for this. Now, the investigation with respect to the police moves pretty quickly. So just before noon on Friday the 23rd of February, the GBI, Athens Clark County Police, Campus Police and other authorities take three people into custody at Cielo Azul in the Argo apartment complex of South Milledge Avenue. That's just near the university. Now, that apartment complex is just south of several trails that led to where Laken was killed. The FBI at this point are also assisting in the investigation. So the police scour through security cameras throughout the university campus. They're desperate to find any indication that the perpetrator is on that CCTV, because that's going to give them a strong lead. Now, at this point, they do manage, after tirelessly going through this footage, surveillance of a man wearing dark clothing. He's also wearing an Adidas cap. And at the point that they actually are witnessing him on the CCTV, what's really strange is he's peering into a student's apartment. This is shortly before Laken's murder. And this individual matches the description of a person who's also seen near the crime scene. And relatively quickly, the man is identified as 26-year-old Jose Antonio Ibarra. He is taken into custody and then they do some background digging on this man. Now, he's previously migrated from Venezuela. He crossed the border with Mexico near El Paso, Texas. Now, at this point, he's arrested by Border Patrol because he'd entered the US illegally. This is in September 2022. Now, because of the amount of people who are crossing the border illegally, now, I know a lot of people will have different thoughts on illegal migration. I personally believe it is right to detain individuals who have decided to break the law by crossing a border when there are illegal routes to do so. And the reason for that is, yes, 90% of them might be totally decent human beings, but the 10% that aren't need to be caught and need to ensure that they are not given any route into the country that they've crossed illegally into, because you are importing something very negative in that 10%. And unfortunately, if you do something illegal, there should be consequences even when you're a really good person. And even if that is just a process that is a little bit nasty to go through, if you've done nothing wrong, there will be opportunities, no doubt, to plead your case. But when individuals are breaking the law and have backgrounds that are really problematic, you are posing a threat to the very people in the country who legally reside. And you're also threatening all those individuals who've legally migrated. We have to remember that. So I strongly believe that you should absolutely be in a situation where you have to answer for your consequences of actions. Now, like I said, that's not how it was working in the US in 2022. So he ends up getting released quickly and he's given temporary permission to stay in the country. Now, these releases were...
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go
big time
on a fancy water bottle
with ultra-titanium alloy metal.
You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water. But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save
big time
for water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
Called paroles, and apparently they were very common when the authorities were overwhelmed with a large number of people crossing the border. the Biden administration, they actually ended the practice about 6 months after Ibarra's release, but it's too late because essentially he's now wandering around freely. Now, initially he stays at the Roosevelt Hotel Migrant Shelter in New York, and then he takes a flight to Georgia because his brother lives there. Now, Ibarra has previously been arrested by both federal and state officials in multiple jurisdictions. So in September 2023, Ibarra is arrested in New York City. He's charged with acting in a manner to injure a child less than 17. And also he's charged with a motor license violation for driving a scooter without a license. Also, he's got a child with him at that point, who's obviously under 17, who wasn't wearing a helmet. In October 2023, Ibarra and his brother Diego are arrested by Athens police on theft charges. So reportedly they'd stolen from a local Walmart, and Ibarra's brother is reported by the authorities to be a member of the infamous Venezuelan gang Tren de Aragua. And also he was temporarily working at the University of Georgia. It blows my mind, this stuff. It really does. I actually feel like these days, if you want safety, you're called a bigot. Genuinely, I am the most centrist individual politically. I definitely am not right. I'm definitely not left. I don't have an issue with people's belief systems. Crack on. Isn't that what makes us so incredible? That we all have different perceptions and opinions. And it's like, I don't buy in to any of this division. At the end of the day, like, I like eating cucumber. Some people hate it. I'm not going to despise a person who hates cucumber, because it makes no sense to me. It doesn't mean we don't share a like and love of many other salads and opportunities eating wise. You see what I'm saying? The tiny bit that divides us is just so often amplified to a degree today that we ruin families, we ruin communities, we become afraid of one another. I, like I said, I'm so centrist. But even with my centrist point of view, what is happening when these individuals can break so many laws and no one does anything about it? And the consequences are deadly in these kind of circumstances. And yet, if you dare to say that, if you dare to say, well, actually, I don't want that person who broke the law living in my locality illegally with absolutely no background information on them, or even worse, background information that says they're really unsafe. Apparently, that makes you a terrible human being who just doesn't accept that you got lucky being born in the postcode you got lucky. Everyone knows that. We all know the world is unfair. But when it comes down to the safety of citizens, that has to be paramount in the views of those who are meant to be protecting those citizens. You can have sympathy and empathy for many groups of people who have been born in more challenging circumstances and situations, but I don't have any sympathy and empathy with the kind of backgrounds that we're talking about where these men are concerned. And like I said, they shouldn't be in the country. End of. Now, the officials said that they ran Ibarra's name through state and national databases at the time of his arrest, but they didn't find a warrant for him. Doesn't mean that he wasn't deeply problematic in his background, just they didn't find a warrant for him. So once again, in spite of what I've just told you, he gets released. Now, after his arrest for Lakin's murder, he was then finally denied bond and had to remain in jail. But it's a little bit too late, isn't it? It's a little bit too late. Lakin Riley has been murdered in the most heinous of ways. Now, in December 2023, Ibarra had a bench warrant issued for his arrest after failing to appear in court for a shoplifting case. So, at the end of the day, even when he's given a consequence, even when he's told you need to come and actually appear in court for the shoplifting that he carried out, he just didn't turn up because he doesn't take the law in the US seriously. Obviously, he can flaunt all the regulations, all the expectations, and he can still just decide not to turn up and nothing's going to happen in his mind. Now, ICE have previously stated that they did miss an opportunity to detain Ibarra after an arrest in New York. So, like I said, a massive failure where the authorities are concerned. Now, on the 23rd of February, he gets interviewed by the police in connection with Lakin's death. And the police immediately see that he's got scratches on his arm, multiple scratches, which are obviously defence wounds, and he couldn't give them any explanation. He just spoke about the cold weather. Because I don't know about you, I live in Greater Manchester. Now, the thing about Greater Manchester in the UK, for any of you who might think to yourselves, oh, the UK, it's a bit touristy. Go to London, see Buckingham Palace, actually just be stuck in a lot of traffic and you might be at risk from pickpockets. That's at best. Or Manchester, because, you know, at the end of the day, Manchester's known for Madchester. It's really cool. You were here at the revolution of music. Yeah, it's great. But it's also freezing 340 days of the year. And if we were to get scratches on our hands and arms whenever it was cold, I would be red raw. I would have no skin. It's as simple as that. So clearly, these seasoned officers recognise immediately that cold weather is not an explanation. And don't get me wrong, even though I'm saying negatives about Manchester, it's also really friendly. And with respect, London has got some of the most amazing architecture in the world. But like I said, it's not like you see in the magazines. That's all I'm saying. And I'm just preparing you if you do decide to come over as a tourist. And anybody who lives in London or Manchester knows exactly what I'm talking about. Brilliant, but also blighted with certain things. Now, the police end up finding a jacket with Lakin's hair in a bin near Ibarra's apartment, which is highly incriminating. But bear in mind, Ibarra isn't the kind of individual who thinks that he has to follow protocol where the law is concerned. And this is one of the other fundamental issues we've got right now. Where you are brought up often dictates your code. I know that everybody doesn't follow it. I get it. But for the most part, human beings obey. Psychologically, what makes us both beautiful and broken is our willingness to obey. So what makes us beautiful on one level is most of us choose to obey the law and authority, right? We all agree with that. That's why we're not all banged up. But we can also find ourselves obeying in a terrible way. Let's look at Nazism, where people followed Hitler because they were obeying. So it can be used against us and it can be used for us. But for the most part, it works well. And when you're brought up in a culture where, for the most part, shall we say, you are told to respect women, you are told to protect women, because this is the message that most men get in the Western world. Whether people want to challenge that or otherwise, most men get it. When you think about the law, whoever you are, man, woman, or child, most of you get it. You follow it because you don't want the consequences. If you're not brought up with that cultural association, then the expectation that someone will cross a border and somehow magically, psychologically, emotionally, and socially disconnect from the problematic situations that they have learned and grown through and developed a sense of what is appropriate or inappropriate, it's not going to all just get left behind as you walk into this new culture where there are expectations that are different. And that's something that very rarely gets talked about because nobody again wants to be called a bigot, as opposed to just sociologically exploring and psychologically identifying reality. Like I said, as opposed to that making you a bigot, it actually makes you more empathetic to the reality of certain individuals who don't connect with a particular culture we expect them to connect with. So I'm going to give this guy no excuses whatsoever. He's a POS, goes without saying. But what I am saying is, let's not expect people from different cultures to just assimilate the new culture because it's convenient for us to believe that's possible. Let's understand that it takes a lot of work and it needs a shift in particular schemas psychologically for people to understand what is appropriate and inappropriate in a new culture and cultural landscape. So it takes a while for people to assimilate what is appropriate and inappropriate in a new culture and cultural landscape. Sorry, went on a bit of a rant there, but you understand why I went on a rant, because it's very clear that very often we are failing to do the work that I just said and stated, and that means that we have got these big gaps in understanding, and also that means there are gaps in understanding the problems that come with it. Now, it turns out that Ibarra's roommate was the person who identified him as the man throwing away the jacket from the CCTV footage of the bin. So obviously a very decent human being who doesn't want to lie to the police to save his roommate's skin. And this means that Ibarra gets charged with murder, aggravated assault, false imprisonment, kidnapping, hindering a 911 call, because obviously she tried getting help and he prevented that, and also concealing the death of another, because as I said, he dragged the body and was trying to conceal the death. He gets indicted on the 8th of May 2024, so a grand jury in Clark County indicted Ibarra at this point with 10 charges, and he pled not guilty to all of the charges. I kid you not. He's on CCTV. His roommate literally says, yeah, that's the guy I share a room with, and that's definitely him. getting rid of the jacket that has Lake and Rella's hair on, the guy is seen wandering around in a very suspicious way, trying to get into people's apartments and then loitering in the very area where she disappears and is consequently murdered. But at the end of the day, just going to say, I'm not guilty. Hope for the best, eh? Now, the DA at this point was seeking the sentence of life imprisonment without the possibility of parole, and damn straight they should, because this kind of evil needs to be off our streets in every way, shape or form. Now, the defence, they actually submitted a motion to move the trial to another county. They said that the media attention surrounding the case could cause a problem. I do have some sympathy and empathy with the defence in that respect. They have to do what's best for their clients, and they will have felt that there was an enormous storm internationally regarding Lake and Rella's disappearance and murder. But because of that, it really doesn't matter where you move it. Move it to a different state, people are going to be absolutely aware of what has played out. So it makes sense to me that Judge Patrick Haggard denies this. And very often I think that these kind of felons do not deserve any kind of empathy or any kind of leverage when it comes down to their trial. They just deserve exactly what's coming. Now, the trial commenced on the 18th of November 2024. It happened at Athens Clark County Superior Court in Athens, Georgia. The prosecution was led by Sheila Ross, and you can imagine we're talking dog with a bone. We're talking vicious prosecution, and we're talking for every right reason. The defence was led by Justin Kirby. Obviously, Justin, we can feel a little bit sorry for him. There was a hill, he had to climb it. It was very steep, and he didn't have the right kind of footwear. In fact, I think we could equate him to wearing very, very loose sandals to go up a very, very steep incline. It's not going to get anywhere. Now, Ibarra actually waives his right to a jury trial and opted for a bench trial instead. And one would imagine that he felt that the jury was going to be prejudicial towards him because probably his background suggests that maybe he shouldn't necessarily have been in the country. And this is at a time where a lot of people were feeling very upset about illegal migration, for example. So I do understand the psychology and mentality of just thinking I'm going to go for a judge who might be able to kind of go through this on a less emotional level. Now, Ibarra's lawyers, they literally argued that the evidence linking him to Lake and Rella's death was circumstantial. Sorry? Yes, we're saying that the evidence that actually connects our client to Lake and Rella's death is just, it's circumstantial. I mean, like, is it? Yeah, it's circumstantial. I mean, you've got the CCTV, but basically that's it. I'm pretty sure that that's not what the prosecution have. I think you should all listen to me, it's circumstantial. But are we talking circumstantial as in you can't actually link him with the crime? Or are we talking it's circumstantial because there were a lot of circumstances that absolutely connect him with the crime, thus making him guilty? I'm saying that whichever definition that you want to go with is fine, but it's circumstantial and therefore there should be reasonable doubt and the judge should find him innocent. I genuinely think you should have worn some hiking boots where that hill was concerned because it's very steep and it's very cold. Anyway, just throwing it out there as I digress. It's not very circumstantial, as you will hear in a minute. But again, just feeling a little bit of sympathy and empathy for the defence, there isn't really anywhere else that they can go aside from trying to suggest that maybe everybody's being a bit nasty to this guy.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go
big time
on a fancy water bottle
with ultra titanium alloy metal.
You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water.
But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save
big time
for water bottles.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
Because at the end of the day, he's only on CCTV. He's only identified with his coat being dropped into a bin, trying to get rid of it when it has evidence of the actual victim being present there, such as the hairs on it. But, you know, at the end of the day, it could just have been unusual that they ran past each other and her hair got stuck on that. That's kind of the way that you would have to play this, and it makes no sense whatsoever. Because when the prosecution bring in their case, it's strong. So they've got body cam footage of Kenneth Maxwell. So that's an Athens Clark County police sergeant who had the very sad reality of finding Lakin's body. So he comes up first and they show body cam footage of him actually finding Lakin's body. And my goodness, he does everything he can for her. He performs CPR. Obviously, it's not going to work. But the point is, when you put yourself in a position of this individual finding this beautiful young girl, almost unrecognizable because of the injuries that were actually attacked upon her. And in spite of that, he just thinks, I am going to try. And can you imagine the trauma of actually seeing the body of this beautiful young girl, so disfigured, so broken, and just wanting desperately to create a different outcome? And people like him do create other outcomes, but unfortunately in this case, that wasn't to be. Special Agent Daniela Stewart, she recounted that when she arrived, because she needed to process the crime scene, she said it was really windy out. There was a lot of leaf coverage in the area, the wooded area itself. And she actually showed close-up images of Lakin's body. And you could just see blood and leaves in her hair. And this individual said that the hair was very tangled. It made it really difficult for me to locate the injuries. She said, typically with the descendants, we try to do further examination for injury, which means we would look through the hair. But in this case, it was just extremely difficult because her hair was so matted and clotted with blood. So those first responders, those detectives who arrive at the scene, they are seeing a young woman who has been so badly and deeply attacked that literally her hair is caked in blood to a point where they can't even see where the injuries have come from. Now, that detective said they also found rocks at the crime scene covered in blood and hair. So immediately we know what he was using to murder her. And I suppose as well that speaks to opportunism regarding the weapon, because I do not necessarily believe the immediate motivation was to kill Lakin Riley. I think that the motivation, and people will dispute this, and certainly in court, this was not something that was actually validated, but I'm going to go with my thoughts anyway. I believe it was a sexually motivated attack, full stop. And I believe that he did not buy into who he was attacking. He thought that she was going to go quietly. He thought he was going to be able to do what he wanted to her. I'm not saying he might not have killed her at the end of it. I cannot quantify whether that's real or otherwise. I'm saying that I believe the first and main motivation was to sexually assault or rape this beautiful young girl. And when she started to react, at that point, he looks for something he can attack her with. And that's when the rocks are used. I think that if he had been planning a murder, he could have taken a knife with him, he could have taken a gun with him. There is that opportunism that plays out in the psychology of this killer, as far as I'm concerned. Now, Special Agent Lucas Bayer, he also testified about the horrendous state that Lakin's body was in. He said, I can see the underwear protruding from the top of her pants on the front of her body. The waistband of her pants had been moved and the underwear was poking out from the top. As I stated, the backside of her running pants were pulled down, exposing the top of her buttocks. And again, that again, absolutely strongly examples to me that this was a sexually motivated attack. Now, during the autopsy, Dr. Michelle DiMarco, she said that she observed blunt force head trauma and also signs of asphyxia. Lakin had abrasions to her face, to her head, to her neck. But they also said, I did not observe anything that would make me believe there was a sexual assault. She had no genital trauma. So there was no semen or seminal fluid found on Lakin's clothing either. But I think we can all agree, just because there was no sexual attack that fully happened, that doesn't mean the motivation of the attack was not sexual. And also the fact that there's no semen on the clothing, well, that would suggest that this individual was quite happy to murder her and then potentially ejaculate afterwards. But that's probably, again, not the motivation of this individual. He probably wanted a live victim. He probably wanted sadistically to harm her sexually. I don't know whether he would have strangled her afterwards. I don't know whether he would have beaten her afterwards to death. But certainly for me, the priority in his mind was, I want to have my way with this girl. And she said no, physically, emotionally, probably vocally. And he couldn't stand that because she was electing to have a sense of power as a victim in that moment and put him on the back foot. And so he punished her. And then because he's killed her, he doesn't have time to fulfill himself. Because like I said, that was not the main motivation initially. It was about sexually attacking her. And it didn't play out in his head how it played out in reality. The prosecution also bring in University of Georgia Corporal Raphael Cyan. He testified about arresting and questioning Ibarra. So Raphael is conveniently bilingual in Spanish, so he could obviously communicate with him appropriately. And he said that there were at least four people in the Athens apartment. All of them were Ibarra's roommates. And when he was asked what the four people were doing as the police questioned Ibarra, he said, they were basically just speaking to one another. They were laughing. There was a lot of laughing, a lot of giggling, especially when they were talking about how they were woken up and pulled out of the apartment. And they were apparently smoking at this time. He said, I would say their vibe, or at least the atmosphere, was very relaxed and calm. So these individuals were not resisting what was playing out. They weren't defending Ibarra. They were actually finding the situation a little bit disconcerting and maybe a little bit funny, but understandably, they probably weren't aware of the gravity of what had played out. Now, he also testified that the officers immediately noticed that Ibarra's got scratches on his wrist, on his right bicep, on the back of his neck. Now, just think about that. And you can imagine just from those injuries, the fact that Lake and Riley was desperately trying to claw him away from her, you know, particularly the clawing on the back of the neck. It's very clear this is her fighting back. Now, he does get asked by the police, why are your knuckles red? And as I've said, his response was, because it was cold. Doesn't explain the scratches on his bicep or the back of his neck or his arms. At the end of the day, he can't explain those, but he just thinks, oh, my knuckles are cold. Now, they also bring in University of Georgia Sergeant Joshua Epps. He testified how the officers first questioned about his brother, Diego. That was questioning happened outside the apartment. And he said, yeah, it was clear that he hadn't got any fresh injuries. There were no scratches on Diego. So they weren't thinking at this point that he had been involved. The DNA was also very compelling. So Ashley Hinkle, who is the forensic DNA expert, they testified that fingernail clippings on Lakin's right hand were actually linked to the genetic profile of Ibarra. Sorry, what's that defense? Circumstantial? Just, it's circumstances. It's DNA. But anyway, now they're linking the genetic profile of Ibarra to the attack. And they said, Lakin's nails were shorter, so it wasn't like they were long nails that you can just accidentally have contact with. No, absolutely. Lakin had his DNA down her nails, even though they were short, because this man was attacking her. Now, the defense brought in an eyewitness, a guy called Joseph Clemente, who was an Athens resident. He was apparently running near the crime scene on the morning that Lakin was killed. So he was the first witness for the defense, and he said that he saw an individual who was wearing dark clothing and who seemed out of the ordinary. But he also said he couldn't identify the person because he didn't see their face. He said, it was really a split second, but they seemed like, I said, they seemed to be kind of aimlessly wandering. I'm not really sure why he was a defense witness, because all that suggests is he can't identify that it was Ibarra. It doesn't mean it wasn't. Now, another witness who's brought into court is one of Ibarra's neighbors. And this neighbor, she testified that his brother Diego had threatened her. She said that she'd spoken to Diego as the police were investigating Lakin's murder. She said that he went over to her house and basically said, why are there so many police cars around? And she said to Diego, if you've seen anything or heard anything out of the normal, you need to say something right now. This poor girl is lost her life and her parents need closure. And apparently, as she said this, police officers actually came over to ask what they were talking about. Now, Diego actually used a translator app to tell her, if you tell them, I will tell them you did it. And then I will kill you too. The genetics in this family are very similar. Are they not? You know, when we think about these kind of individuals and just how similar they are, it absolutely seems like Diego is cut from the same cloth as his brother. Now, there was, with respect, a language barrier that was pointed out in court, because she did admit there was a language barrier. She wasn't fluent in Spanish, and she also described Diego's English as broken. She also did have to admit that she'd had a sexual relationship with Diego in the past, so they're going to try to dismantle her evidence by saying, oh, she's a woman scorned. It's not that she actually wants to do the right thing and have the individual who is responsible for Laken Riley's murder put in prison where they deserve to be. They're going to make her seem like she is somebody with a real axe to grind against Diego. And with respect, I get it. I get the fact that if there is a language barrier, you might always not pick up on the reality of what's being said, but you tend to know the way something's stated, don't you? You know, you can threaten me in any language, you literally can, and I'm gonna know you're threatening me because it isn't just the words you say, it's the way you say it, it's the way you look at me, it's the proximity that you're speaking to me within. At the end of the day, Japanese, Chinese, Arabic, it doesn't matter what language you speak to me in, the way you convey the information is going to be what I pick up on. Now, one of the other things that happened in court, along with the very strong testimony against this man, is people talked about the light that Laken Riley was. They talked about the immense light and joy she brought into their lives. Her stepfather called her a shining beacon in the life of everyone she knew or came into contact with. And he also took a moment to remind people of how rich Riley's life was before it ended. In fact, I love this quote. It's very powerful and it's very sad. He said, I'm here today to let Your Honour and the entire world know that Laken's life was not apparently full of promise, but instead was abundantly and exceptionally full of promise. John Phillips saying that, it's just such a powerful, powerful reality of a description of this lovely young woman who was living life fully. You know, you can live 100 years and your life can have this blandness and this lack of meaning. You won't feel fulfilled. You won't have done what you desired. And then you can have a life of 22 years and every single moment was lived to the fullest. Laken Riley is an example to all of us of seizing every opportunity, of seizing the day and going with that. And I think that John Phillips states that passionately and also with a message to each and every one of us. And I think it's so powerfully important when you think about somebody like Laken Riley that legacy is created because she was so unusual. Now, the verdict was reached on the 20th of November 2024 and Judge Haggard didn't struggle. It wasn't a challenging scenario to decide whether Ibarra was guilty or not guilty. Of course, he was found guilty on all charges. At this point, he was sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole, which, with respect, is still more than Laken Riley got, isn't it? Because he's still breathing and she isn't. Now, understandably, after Laken's murder happened, there was loads of public interest. There was international media attention, particularly in the US. And Laken's parents were actually invited to the State of the Union by Georgia Congressman Mike Collins. They did go ahead and turn down that invitation. I imagine they had so many emotions going through them at that moment in time. I imagine that there is a silent rage within them, even though they're handling this with such decorum and humility, because they've lost a daughter, and I think that there were missed opportunities, and that makes you feel that this could absolutely have been prevented. Now, President Joe Biden mentioned Laken's murder during the 2000s.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go
big time
on a fancy water bottle
with ultra-titanium alloy metal.
You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water.
But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time
for water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
In 24 State of the Union address, this is after Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene shouted Laken's name at him. And you know what? Good on you, Marjorie Taylor Greene. Rightfully so. He should have that shouted at him because he was involved in the policies and procedures that certainly let individuals slip through the net that absolutely shouldn't have. Now, writing for Forbes, Sarah Dorm, a journalist, said that Laken's murder became a national political case during a historic surge in border crossings during Biden's tenure. Also, Donald Trump, of course, took a massive opportunity to mention Lacon during his speech for the Republican Party's presidential nomination. And that was done with good reason. No matter what our feelings are towards Donald Trump, positive or negative, at the end of the day, this is the young girl who had her life snuffed out and it shouldn't have happened. So, of course, you're going to push that things need to change with examples, with lived experience to say this girl is an example of what happens when policies fail. Now, Lacon, along with other women and girls who had been reportedly killed by illegal immigrants, including Jocelyn Nungare, who is a 12-year-old girl killed in June 2024. I'm going to cover that case. Horrific. Absolutely horrific. Again, absolutely unnecessary death. Other deaths as well, other assaults as well, were raised and featured in Trump's presidential campaign. Some people didn't agree with that. So some people felt that it was being used as a political leverage. But with respect, yeah, it will have been. But does that make it wrong? Because surely we should be talking about the demise and destruction of women and girls who should never have had that happen to them, because these individuals should never have had an opportunity to be near them. Now, Andrea Cavalier from The Independent, they discussed the dangers and threats women face when they go running alone. And it's one of those things that's quite disturbing, isn't it? That we're actually writing about the dangers and threats that women face when they go running alone, because it makes you think, well, should I not go anymore? Should I not actually elect to have my freedom? And it's such a quandary, because these days people have to ask that question. People literally have to say to themselves, is it safe for me to go on my morning run? It's terrifying. And that journalist used Lacon's murder to demonstrate that feeling. And this journalist also wrote about Molly Tibbetts, who was a student in Iowa who was murdered whilst out for a jog, and Karina Vetrano, who was a 30-year-old who was murdered while running in Queens, New York City. It's awful to imagine that just going for a bit of exercise can literally be lethal. Now, of course, Lacon Riley's death was taken up by prominent Republicans to support tougher immigration policies. So Senator Lindsey Graham said Lacon's murder would change the 2024 election as much as anything. The Democrats then accused Republicans of actually politicizing the tragedy. Jerry Nadler said Republicans were exploiting Lacon's death for a partisan stunt and throwing together legislation to target immigrants in an election year. Again, I'm centrist, I'm not left, I'm not right, and I'm not American, so I do not know how much of that is true. What I would say is this: if people are being murdered by illegal immigrants and there are policies in place that should prevent that happening, those policies should absolutely be instituted. If the policies have not been instituted, then that needs to be explored. If the policies weren't there to institute, then they need to be changed. And of course, it is going to be used by any political party to further their beliefs in this particular area and targets, to actually use faces of people who lost their lives, because it's very emotional. So with respect, that is something that any political party would use, because it furthers their agenda and desires and also highlights how things need to change and actually gives reference for people to understand why that change needs to occur. Now, Veronica Escobar said, "We all want Lacon Riley's murderer to be held accountable. Republicans should be ashamed of exploiting this tragedy for their dangerous political games." That is something that seems a little bit hypocritical, because of course we all want this man to absolutely be found guilty of this horrific murder and held to account, but he was illegally in the US and he had been arrested for crimes and hadn't been brought to justice, and therefore he was on the streets when potentially he shouldn't have been. It's dangerous that that happens. Forget the political games. Lacon Riley's dead because of these failures. Now, on the 7th of March 2024, the House of Representatives passed the Lacon Riley Act in a 251-170 vote. So 37 Democratic members voted for the bill, and then all Republican members voted for the bill. Now, if enacted, it meant that the Lacon Riley Act would mandate federal detention of illegal immigrants who are arrested for burglary or theft, and would allow states to file suits against the federal government for failing to enforce immigration laws. Now, the bill did stall. There was quite a lot of opposition in the Democratic-controlled Senate in the 118th Congress But on the 7th of January 2025, the Laken Riley Act did pass the House. They passed with the vote of 264 to 159, so all Republican members voted for it and 48 Democratic members supported it too. And this was actually the first piece of legislation passed by Donald Trump's new Congress that began on the 3rd of January 2025. So at the end of the day, it was signed in, and that means that Laken Riley's death has a legacy of change, and hopefully that change will be for the positive. Like I said, look, I don't understand the politics in the United States. My God, I really struggle to understand the politics in the UK because none of it makes sense anymore. So I'm not going to come down as an expert in any way, shape or form on those issues. What I do know is this. Laken Riley was a beautiful young woman who was making changes to this world and would have continued to make changes to this world as a wife, as a mother, as a daughter, as a sister, as a citizen, as a child of God. And she absolutely deserved to have the opportunity, and it was stolen from her. And there is a need to understand how certain failures led to her murder. And listen, no matter where you are on the political spectrum, I think we can all agree this. None of us want potential killers on the streets. None of us. And if there is a historic reason why that person shouldn't be free, maybe they've crossed the border illegally and then broken the law several times and not appeared in court, this kind of an individual has potential and they are problematic. So it doesn't matter where you are on the political spectrum, that needs to be managed and dealt with. Equally, you absolutely want people who have a need for asylum, a need for care, a need for compassion, you want them to have access to that. But there has to be a balance. Finally, I just want to say that there is something really profound about this young girl. There is something really profound about Laken Riley. She absolutely should not be remembered as a political stunt. That goes without saying. But I think that her family rightfully want change. They rightfully want to prevent other families from going through the hardship and the heartache that they have gone through. And when you look at somebody like the brother Diego and the perpetrator in this crime, the way that they have been shaped and formed, the human beings that they are, the darkness within them, that is very clear. And it's also very evident that Laken Riley's family are the absolute extreme to that. They are the absolute polarity. They are the light. They are the life force. They are good. They are humanitarians in this case. And like I said, she shouldn't be used for any political agenda unless that agenda is based in reality. And where Laken Riley is concerned, surely profound change should occur. Because if a death can be prevented, if lessons can be learned, then my goodness, this case examples why they should. That's it for Bang to Rights today. Join me for the next episode. See you then. Be safe.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.